yielded prayer.
Our acceptance and patience and trust in God as our Father in times of adversity is the measure of our growth in faith. We don't grow in faith if we think faith is getting what we want, simply because we pray for it and think it should happen. God allows contrary and painful circumstances to confront us. These things challenge us. They challenge our trust and our faith in Him as a good and loving Father who wants to do the best for us. So our response needs to be to believe that His motive is to do us good and to bring us closer to His heart. The examples of faith in the lives of the gallery of heroes from Hebrews chapter 11, called the Faith Hero chapter, men such as Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses reveal how they accepted and embraced the circumstances of their lives. And they believed that God was at work in the unseen world, doing His will through them, and they left the results to God. They didn't always see the results. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says this, "And all of these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised." Then the next couple of verses, starting in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The faith lives of this gallery of heroes are set before us as a witness of what is meant by yielded faith. We can now throw off the attitude of being weighed down by our problems and the individual failures and flaws of our human nature. Let us now run the race set before us with a well-timed and measured pace." Here Paul is writing to the Hebrew Christians, and they're going through difficult times of affliction and persecution. And it's because of their faith. And he encourages them to not give up. They've been through it before. And he reminds them of that. He said, "You did well." And so now he's saying, "I've got confidence that your faith won't fail." Now, even when our circumstances are adverse and difficult, our inner life of faith can fill our hearts with hope, because it is surrendered to God's will. It's not fixed on demanding a self-determined desire of the soul. So what do we hope for when we pray? Well, our hope is in the fact that God is working out His perfect plan. He doesn't need a perfect prayer, just a yielded prayer and a joyful expectation. We always end up enjoying His answers to our prayers better than our own idea of what we wanted. He does exceedingly above everything that we ask or think. That's why we trust Him. That's why we yield. Still reading in Hebrews, I've read verse 1 in chapter 12, I'll now read verse 2. We can keep Jesus in our sights, the one who initiates and completes our faith life. He kept in His sights the joy and happiness that awaited Him as He set Himself to persevere the ordeal of the cross. He shrugged off the scorn that people threw at Him, and He finally took His place at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of that barrage of self-centered and evil attitudes that He had opposing Him. Compare this to what you are going through before you decide to give up because it is all too hard. And in verse 4, "You have not yet had to battle against evil to the extent that your life blood is drained out of your body." This kind of faith challenge does not seem like fun and games at the time. It is painful. But when you go through the pain of it, you do end up with the gain of it. You end up experiencing a peaceful harmony with God and with your own soul. Even when circumstances are favourable, we can let our faith life down because we can negatively perceive them as not favourable enough. Quite favourable. I still eat, still pay the rent, still have work, still have friends and family. But you could be doing better, Lord. There are other things I really would like in my life. Now, that kind of faith life, I want more, Lord, it can be an ungrateful mindset, and it can be destructive and disappointing to our souls and foster a negative perception of God, which is a wrong reality that says, God doesn't really love me. I'm a victim, or life is unfair. You see, when I said circumstances are favourable, I was talking generally, you know, about the basic requirements and needs and necessities and comforts. But there can be one thing that you feel you've been left out of, and that's the thing to yield, to surrender. The Bible tells us to give God thanks in all things, because that brings us into alignment with his true heart of goodness towards us. We then experience a release of his transforming power towards us. And as we change, our world changes around us, because God is at work, releasing his supernatural power that reorders everything in our world into a better place. So that is yielded prayer. So is there a model of the perfectly yielded prayer in the scriptures that can guide us in this? Yes. We find it in Romans 8, verse 25 through to 28. It says this: the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's a necessary thing. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he, that's Jesus, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, Jesus, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together, fitting into a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are the called, that is, the invited, to be aligned with his plan and purpose. Right, now let's look at that in detail. This verse tells us that we don't know what we should pray for. It does not say we don't know how to pray. We know that. We know how to pray. Jesus told us. He says, you pray to the Father through me. So we pray to the Father through Jesus, that is, in his name. It is the what that counts as that which is necessary for the prayer to be perfect, as being in God's will. We don't know what is perfectly in God's will. We know how, we don't know what. We may hardly ever know in our own mind and soul what God's will truly is, except we sincerely know what we would like it to be. And that's fine. There's no condemnation in that. This whole chapter, actually, Romans chapter 8, starts off with saying there's no condemnation now to those who walk in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us in this weakness and limitation of ours. And he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Why would the Holy Spirit be groaning? Is he struggling about something going on within us? Yes, he is. This very chapter 8 in Romans has a great deal to say about the inner struggle of God's Spirit within each one of us, as to what is of the soul and what is of the spirit. And that's our problem. Doesn't matter how sincere we are. Now let me read Romans 8:5, which explains this. That's earlier in the chapter. For they that are exercising their soulish self, that's called the flesh, are mindful of the things of the soulish self. but they that are exercised in their spiritual being are mindful of the things of the Spirit. So that's a big issue in Romans chapter 8. So getting back to the prayer, the Holy Spirit making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this, then it says, now he, that's Jesus, who searches the heart. So it is at this point that Jesus enters the picture and takes the prayer baton handed to him by the Holy Spirit. Now he, Jesus, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, Jesus, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, why would Jesus know the mind of the Spirit who is struggling within us concerning this very thing? It's because this is how Jesus operated in partnership with the Holy Spirit in his prayer life on earth, as he would only do what his Father directed him to do. Jesus knows the mind of the Spirit, and he also knows our human soulish mind. He was human as well as divine, and he had to go through what we go through. So he identifies with us in his humanity, having been tempted in all things like us, but without sin. So that is why he cried out to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now that was from his soul, sincerely, like some of our prayers. But it was a yielded cry from the heart, because he continues and says, but nevertheless, let not my will but yours be done. There's your yielded prayer. There's the model of Jesus in the garden. And here's the model of the scripture from Paul in Romans. So we can be assured that this second phase of intercession for us, in this prayer which comes through Jesus, the second phase, when he gets the baton from the Holy Spirit, that part will be answered according to the Father's plan and purpose for us. Jesus takes it to the Father. And we know it's Jesus who intercedes for us, because it says a few verses down in the same chapter, the same book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says, Jesus is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So you've got three people in that prayer meeting, actually four, counting you. You're there, the Holy Spirit's there, struggling to get you into the Spirit, getting you out of the soul, but you leave that to him. That's his work. And as you yield, say, help me, Jesus, Jesus takes that. He knows the mind of the Spirit. It's then become a yielded prayer. And that goes to the Father. And it's then that our world changes around us, because God is at work releasing his supernatural power that reorders everything in our world into a better place. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together. They're fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and to those who are invited to be aligned with his plan and purpose. So there you have the perfect model of a yielded prayer. So there are five things that you will find very helpful to bring to remembrance at the start of each day. Number one, remember that Jesus is still the same. He never changes. Even if yesterday everything around you changed. Two, remember that his love for you is an everlasting love. And the reason you exist is because he wants to share his love with you today. That is his greatest desire. Number three, remember that he can do all things and that nothing is impossible for him, who created you and the universe just for you. The fourth thing, remember that he only wants the best for you, and he will surprise you with his goodness. And the fifth thing, tell him that you will not worry or be anxious today. That's his request for you. I've got scriptures for all of these. And that last one is in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. You see, there's no need for that. He will make life work out for you if you let him. So read the scriptures for each one of those 5 points, which I have in the notes. And give God thanks and know that your faith pleases him. But your yielded faith changes you. Amen.